Here's the prayer of Isaiah. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them, and he lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then the people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand, who divided the waters before them to gain for himself everlasting renown, and who led them through the depths? Like a horse in open country, they did not stumble. Like cattle that go down to the plain, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how you guided your people, to make yourselves a glorious name. Now look down from heaven and see from your lofty throne, holy and glorious, where are your zeal and your might? Your tenderness and compassion are withheld from us. But you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us, or Israel acknowledge us. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, from times of old is your name. Why, O Lord, do you make us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so we do not revere you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes that are your inheritance, for a little while your people possessed your holy place, but now our enemies have trampled down your sanctuary. We are yours from old, but you have not ruled over them. They have not been called by your name. The perplexity of Isaiah as he sees God's people in some things that are very easy to see in life, as God has forsaken them and God has walked away from them. And Isaiah now cries out to his God on behalf of God's people. We turn now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, beginning our reading at the 13th verse, which is a portion of scripture that comes right after our visit of the Magi. When they had gone, the Magi, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of, Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream again, he withdrew to a district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. So far the reading of God's holy and inspired word. We give our thanks to God for the blessings of his word and for the fact that he shares it with us and allows us to know his will and to see his presence. Let us pray. We're going to go through the three that I've talked about in our dependency upon each other. And we're going to see the mission of the church. We're going to see the mission that you give to us. But we're going to see an important thing, Father. We depend upon you. Help us to realize that in the things that we share together as your people. For we ask it in the name of your Son. Amen. I don't know how many of you already said this to me when I came in. Happy New Year. We wish each other the best for each other in the new year that we've just begun. But what we're doing this morning is very special. We're standing at a very important part of our life and a very important part of our faith. We're sort of in the middle this morning. In the middle in the fact that we can say farewell to 2022 and anticipate 2023. The scriptures that I chose show us the things that I was calling upon in our dependency upon God and upon each other. And we need to see in the scriptures that I've chosen the fact that we come to all three of these things to teach us something about where we're going and how we're going to get there. Go back to Isaiah. The days of Isaiah's people were chaos. They were days when they felt that God somehow had deserted them, not realizing that they had deserted God. And God calls upon the children of Israel to look back, to stand in time and to realize the actions that they had taken in their own lives, which brought them to this place and this time. God says to them, evaluate your past days. And as you evaluate the past days, what you see in the old year is where you were and why you did what you did. God continually does this all through the Old Testament. And he goes to his people over and over again and says to them, do not forget your past. Build upon your past. Take time to learn from it in your reflections and your recollections. Take seven stones and put them on land and show them that this is what God has done with the seven tribes of Israel. See the things that God gives to you as you have walked with him and as he has been a part of you, and now you are somehow alienated from him. Hopefully, you and I can look back in our lives and see that we are not alienated from God, but that there are things that in our past we need to learn from. God shows the children of Israel over and over again that the present hinges upon the past. And in the former days that they could see and appreciate how God had blessed them, they would begin to learn their lessons even in their agony and in their frustration. You and I have to do the same thing, I think. Before we leave the old year, let's go back to the old year and see what made those days and our experiences what they were. And this is another gift that God gives to us, the ability to recall, the ability to not be restricted by time and space. I can go back and see things in my life that happened 65 years ago. You can go back in time to recall where we were, and we need to do that as we celebrate the new year. Some of it was not so good, and we don't want to see that again. We realize that we confronted a thing, or we're confronted by a thing called COVID, that millions of people died. And we watched it on our television and read about it in our newspaper, and it didn't affect us at all. Changes in the most important and vital parts of our lives were made because of a thing called COVID. Some of us went through hard days that were faced and encountered, and many of us will see the things that we saw in our past year as illnesses, situations, loss of friends and loved ones. And it seems to us that 22 was a tough and a difficult year on many levels. That's a hard thing to do, to go back and remember some of those things. And yet God tells us to do that. And if we do that, we begin to do something that's very important. we remember how difficult our days were and what they did in the lessons that were there to teach us as a part of the dark days of our existence. Go back to 22. We're a lot like the children of Israel. We doubted God. We wondered where God was. And some even deserted God and said, no, we don't need to do that anymore. And yet when we go back and see what we had in 2022, we realize an underlying principle that God remained faithful. And that even though we were going through difficult and hard times, God comes to us to give us the strength to go through them. That God gives us such things as fortitude and determination to overcome the things that come to challenge us and to overcome those things which somehow build the negativity in our minds. Never lose sight of the fact that negative minds find negative things. Positive minds find positive things. And when we go back in our lives to remember how God has blessed us, even in the hard times, even in the difficult days, we learn something. God is still seeking to show us a way to overcome and a way to endure. We get through it, and we don't know how until we're through it. And then we look back and we say, God was right there. He was walking with me as I was walking through this. He was there in the days that were dark. He was there when I doubted him. He was there when I somehow felt that life had nothing to offer. And yet he was there. He did not desert me. He did not desert you. But he gave you the ability to endure and to overcome. And even in our dark and doubtful days, he reminded us, and Israel as well, that the blessings that abide even in difficult times are the blessings that God comes to give to us as we are his people. He came to us to be our fortress. He came to us to be our place of retreat. He came to us to be the basis of our strength. Look back in your life in 2022 and see what God said to you and did with you. Move ahead to the Gospel of Matthew. And God says to Joseph in a dream, get up and take Mary and the child and get out of here, because Herod is going to kill every baby under 2 years of age to try to find the new king. Back on the donkey. She's been on that donkey for so long, she's probably become a part of him. She rode the donkey to Bethlehem to give birth to the baby of Jesus. And now she's got to get back on the donkey again and go to a place called Egypt. It wasn't like you plotted it out in your GPS or got in your nice shiny car with air conditioning and warm seats and whatever you have on it. It was a donkey. And Mary gets back on the donkey and Joseph takes her to a place called Egypt. There are many times in our lives when we respond to God's directions unconsciously. And we do that as we come to a new year. Joseph and Mary, what have they gone through in the last few days? She gave birth to a baby in a manger. She gave birth as being a virgin. There were not room in the inn for them, and so they slept in the stable with the cows and the donkeys. And they watched as wise men came later on in their life. They found the shepherds as the shepherd found them in that night when the stars were bright and sunny and the angels were singing in the sky. What in the world is happening to Joseph and Mary? And now God comes to Joseph and says, you got to get out of here, Joseph. Herod's going to kill the baby boys. You and I stand right now like Joseph and Mary with a blank page. I don't know what 23 is going to bring, neither do you. And I don't have a crystal ball to say that I can teach you what you're going to go through and what is going to happen to you in your life. But what happens in the life of Joseph and Mary becomes a lesson for us. It is an opportunity for God to teach us that in a year, he will be a part of all the things that unfolds. He was there for Mary and Joseph. Tomorrow is never without hope, no matter how dark today is. And it had to be dark for Mary and Joseph good Lord, what are we going to do now? And Joseph receives the dream. Go to Egypt. And then come back out of Egypt. And God is constantly guiding them and directing them and showing them where to go. It's the promise that fulfills itself in their life, and it's a promise that will fulfill itself in our lives. The knowledge of the fact that God comes to lead us and experience with us in all the things that we will experience in 23. He will be a part of our joy. He will be a part of our sadness. He will be a part of those things that are planned and those things that are not planned. Whatever unfolds in your life in 2023, God already knows it. He has already been there. And we are reassured that he is still with us in an unformed and unseen day called 2023. He will continue to bless us as he continued to bless Joseph and Mary. He didn't quit with Joseph and Mary when the baby was born. He was there in everything that happened in their lives from that day on. And even in the dark days that may come into our lives, as we hastily somehow make our identification, we forget that God is still in control. That God has promised us peace in the midst of our frustrations and anxieties. That God has promised us tranquility in the things that we don't understand. There will be things in 2023 that you're going not to experience, and you're not going to understand them. You're going to see things that you cannot predict, and they will rise up and confront you, and yet you are always in the presence of God. And God is there when that happens, saying, I'll take you through this. I'll bring you out on the other side. I'm not going to desert you. I'm going to be a part of you. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will direct you. I will still love you. And I want you never to forget that in the new year, when everything else seems so dark and so dismal. Let that little voice in the back of your mind say this: I know a God who loves me. I know a God who takes care of me. And I know that he's here today, and he will be here tomorrow. Okay, move from Matthew to the table. Whenever we come to this table, we fittingly do exactly what God calls us to do in the person of his Son, as the Son lives out his ministry. Go back to the ministry of Jesus Christ. He points everything back. It isn't me, it's my Father in heaven. I don't know what to teach you. He's teaching me to teach you. Everything points back to the realization of God's blessing, God's will, and God's care in his life, in the life of his own Son. In the process of seeing that, we find our blessings in the reality of our own lives. The impact of the ministry of Jesus Christ is focused in that upper room the last night he's with his disciples. Watch what he does. He's going back. They have the Passover meal. They've done it hundreds of times as children growing in the Jewish faith. Now they're gathered together as some people who are now breaking away sort of from Judaism. But what does Jesus do? He hangs on to Judaism. He observes the Passover. All through his ministry, he goes to the synagogues to teach. He is there hooking himself with the past and then focusing upon his own ministry that finds fulfillment that night in the upper room. He's connecting them with the past and the difficult days and times which are about to unfold in their lives. They will be hunted. They will be killed. They will be prosecuted. They will be misunderstood. They will be cast out of villages. They will be put in jails. All of those things are going to happen in the difficult days and times. But what does Jesus do? He says this: remember. Remember what God has done in your life. Remember what God has done in your midst as he walked with me and as you have been a part of me. Remember, the past always hinges upon the future, and the future hinges upon the past. One somehow come to see the fulfillment in the other. Do this, he says, in remembrance. Remembrance of what? In remembrance of all the things that we have done, all the things that are part of your past. Remember my love and my compassion as I walked with you. Remember all those things that I did to show you my will and all that it means to you as that will is fulfilled in you. You will come to a table. You will recall God's love in all of your days, if they were hard days or easy days, if they were blessed with them, wonderful things or filled with pain, if they were somehow doubts and uncertainties, even the disciples had that. But you will come to the table and you will do something that he says to you. Remember. Remember the past. Remember all the things that I've done for you. Remember all the promises that I've given to you. Remember all those things that I set before you to show you how much God loves you. And when you remember those things, then you can touch the future. And you can see the things that are yet to come. Promises that are yet unfulfilled. Promises that there are days that were unlived in the lives of the disciples, unplanned, unpredictable. And yet God is there in the person of Christ and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The focus of the disciples that night in the upper room was upon God's promises. Promised to them in the Old Testament. Fulfilled to them in a man named Jesus Christ. And now to spread into the world as you and I find that trust and that same love. And Jesus says to us, every time you do this, remember your past. Remember my past. And then look to your future. Trust me in my strength. Trust me in my truth. Trust me in what is yet to come. It can be a happy new year regardless of what it may hold. If we will only remember his promise. If we only will remember his gift to each one of us and all of us. As he says to us, remember, as often as you eat and drink, remember, and then see the blessings of the hope and the promise that I give to you. You are God's child. You are eternal. You are divine. You are God's redemption, lived out in your own life. And then I can say to you, my friends, Happy New Year, but more important, a blessed New Year. Whatever the New Year holds, don't lose sight of your blessings, because you have been here at this table today to remember the greatest gift that God gave to you, the gift of his own Son. And that will make the blessings of the New Year. And if you are blessed, then you are happy in whatever the new year may hold. Happy, blessed New Year. Let us pray. Don't let us forget you, Lord Jesus. Call us to remember. And as you call us to remember, let us realize the goodness of your love, the wonder of that thing that you give to us in your peace that passes all human understanding. Give us your presence in the future as you have given us your presence in the past. Amen. We set before God our offerings, our tithes, our gifts to God as God has blessed us and walked with us as his children.
Sovereign and majesty held his reign. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our Father, brothers are we. Let us walk with our brother. Let peace begin with me. Let peace.
in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let us pray. The Magi opened their gifts and honored him. So too, Lord, we bring our gifts to you. Much like a little drummer boy, we have no gold, frankincense, or myrrh, but we have our love and our devotion to honor and serve you. So we place our gifts before you, and in an act of devotion, we greet you as our King and Lord. All things are yours, and we return a portion of what you have been willing to share with us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and King. Amen. Please be seated. I'm grateful for guys like him. One of the most intimate parts of the ministry of Jesus Christ is when he would go away from the crowds and be with his disciples, or sometimes go away even from the crowds and the disciples just to be alone with his God, his Father in heaven. And the last thing that Jesus does is group that disciple following together in the upper room. Why did he do that? He knew what was coming. He knew that he's going to die on a cross, and he knew that they would desert him. There was only one disciple standing at the bottom of the cross. All the rest were gone. They were afraid of the Roman Empire. They were afraid of the Jewish people. And they are saying to themselves, if they crucified him, they're going to crucify me as well. And some of them were crucified. But the night that Jesus has upon this earth is his last night. He didn't go to stay with himself. He goes to be with his disciples. He goes because he finds comfort in that final family union that he has developed over the 3 years of his ministry. He goes to be with them because he knows they're going to need the strength that he's going to share with them. When you and I come to this table, we're doing the same thing that the disciples did with Jesus. We're coming here and we're saying we come to you to remember you, to do the thing that you told us to do, and that in remembering you, to realize your blessings in our lives. The disciples would do the very same thing that you and I have to do, accept God's love and live that love out in our life. And that happens when the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost. And old Peter, who was a famous guy, stands up and preaches the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. 5,000 were added to the church on that day. What you and I do in the lives that we live, go back to that interrelationship that we have with Jesus in the upper room. He tells us to eat and to drink and to remember him. And in doing that, to honor him. So we come to his table. Let us pray. Be visible to us in the breaking of the bread and in the juice and wine of the cup. Be visible to us, Lord Jesus, as we come to remember you, and as you come to remember us with your sacrifice and the gift that you give to us in the gift of eternal life. We come, we eat, we drink, but most of all, we remember. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had blessed it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said to them, take this and eat. And every time you eat of this bread, remember me. For this is my body, which is broken for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And after the end of the meal, he took the cup and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. It is shed for the sins of your world and my world. As often as you drink of this cup, remember that your sins are forgiven. We eat and we drink and we remember. And in doing that, we honor him as he has honored us. The elements will be served at this time. To us, the body of Christ, the cup which we have poured, is the cup of forgiveness, his shed blood for our sins. Jesus says to you, remember, eat and drink in remembrance of me. Let us pray. We come to you, Father, to thank you. To thank you for a year that we have lived and all the things that we've experienced. We come to you to ask you to bless us in the year that we begin. Be constant with us. Be merciful to us. And be our God and our King in all the things that we experience. Never let us wander from you. Walk closely with us and be as much a part of us as our own heartbeat is a part of us in all the days that we experience. We give you our praise and our adoration for all your blessings in our lives, the way in which you have somehow cared for us even beyond our expectations, in ways that you have given to us the knowledge and the realizations that you are the God who controls the universe. Help us not to forget that when we see what we see in our world, a world that is confused and bewildered, a world that somehow would be happier by killing than loving, a world that forgets the innocent and persecutes those who are those who should be persecuted. We are come to a world which we cannot understand or comprehend, when people by the hundreds and thousands die of starvation and we waste the food that we waste, when others have no place to live except a cardboard box on a street in New York and we take our homes for granted, when others sit in loneliness because everybody else has forgotten them and passed them by and now they're in an old people's home and even their own family forget them, help us not to forget. Help us not to forget your love, your care, and your mercy as it comes to us every day. And we ask you for a simple thing, Father. Walk with us, love us, and take us through the new year. All of these things we ask not because we are worthy, but because we are your children. And because you have called us to be those children and have redeemed us in the person of your own Son, who comes to us and teaches us a prayer that we can pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is Amazing Grace, not Away in a Manger.